Well, scheduling matter here, it's 11:45. We have some public comment that is going to be coming after. They're not going to arrive until at least noon. I believe Mr. Lang is in the back and would like to address the commission on a matter involving the quote floating junkyard, end quote. Would you like to do that or break now?
No, let's hear from him.
Yeah, Mr. Lang, would you come forward, please? Would you please identify yourself for the record, please?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Bull. My name is Ken Lang. I'm an attorney with Pender & Coward Law Firm in Virginia Beach, and I represent Carmelo Gomez, who owns 6 acres of waterfront that's immediately adjacent to the property in which the floating junkyard has been created. Mr. Bull, I prepared written comments for the record, which I think would abbreviate my time here.
Yes, please. We've received them, and the board has them in hand.
Oh, terrific. I modified them slightly. Could I give you the updated version?
Sure. Please.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks. Here you go, Jim. We can
just pass right past them.
Not receive one?
I think we're good.
I was holding my breath when Mr. Plumlee put the question to Dr. Orth about how can we improve the water quality and the light reaching the bottom. I was hoping Dr. Orth would say, eliminate the floating junkyard.
I don't think he had the matter in front of him.
If he would have, perhaps that is what he would have said. I'll be brief because I've submitted written comments that summarize what has taken place over the last 60 days since I was last before you. We have had some small amount of progress, and for that, we're appreciative. There's still much that remains to be done, as is outlined in my statement. As you can see from the photo on page one of the written statement, the floating junkyard is still there. As of this past Saturday, there were 25 vessels in the waterway. Five of them are the responsibility of the tenant of my client. The other 20 are associated with Mr. Mullane's operation in some fashion, meaning his operation either directly owns it, his operation is using the vessel, or the vessel was brought in by a business associate of Mr. Mullane's under circumstances that suggest he invited the vessel to the waterway. There were 6 vessels that were identified as vessels that would be removed within a month of the site inspection that was conducted in the second week of December. By the end of the compliance period, none of those vessels had been removed. And subsequent to then, 3 have been removed, 3 of the smallest of the 6. And a 4th one, the vessel has been removed, but not the motor. If you recall, when I was last before you, there was a 24-foot cabin cruiser that had the house sideways on the hull. The outboard motor was attached to the vessel. There was a battery in the vessel. There was also what appeared to be a fuel tank in the vessel, all of them awash in the tide. That motor was removed by someone and tossed into the water adjacent to the vessel. You'll see a photo of it on page 2 of the written statement. The vessel itself has been removed. So 3 vessels removed in total, the 4th one removed in part, the motor left behind, and that leaves the 2 largest vessels on the group of 6, which you'll see photos of that on page 3 of the written statement. The 245-foot former barge ATC 12,000, which is aground. First Sergeant Copperthite confirmed that when he visited the site with me in early December. Has not been moved. And then adjacent to it is a 100-foot deck barge, Vessel B. And as to the locations of all these vessels, the very last page in the packet I gave you is the aerial photograph that DMRC law enforcement took in August of this year, and I've marked with a red arrow all the vessels that were scheduled to be removed under the commitment obtained at the site inspection. And you can see the vessel A and B up at the top part of that photograph to get an idea of the size of what we're talking about here. Looking ahead, and this is at page 4 of the written statement, I do see four challenges that are immediately in front of us. The first of those is maintaining compliance with the commitments, with the commitments that were made at the site inspection on the secondly, I foresee a further problem with preventing Mr. Mullane from introducing more vessels into the waterway, either legacy vessels that were there but have been removed, an example being a 300-foot barge that went out on charter late November, early December. When it comes off charter, if he were to reintroduce that into the waterway, that would further exacerbate an already difficult problem. As well, introducing new vessels into the waterway. We've identified two rather large deck barges that have come into the waterway. They were not shown in the August 2013 aerial photograph. So I see that as the second challenge. The third challenge is overcoming self-serving statements of dubious reliability that have been offered to the authorities in their interactions with the players in this situation. An example being at the December 11th site inspection, Mr. Mullane told Ms. Hall and Sergeant Copperthite that an 80-foot crane barge that has been pushed up on the shore since 2012 was abandoned. Didn't know anything about it. Our team did a lot of legwork and unearthed a bill of sale showing a June 25, 2010, sale of that vessel to one of Mr. Mullane's business associates, and the circumstances under which that vessel appeared in the waterway are suggestive of involvement by Mr. Mullane. These kinds of unreliable information that is provided by these people makes it more difficult to deal with this problem, and we're going to have to overcome that if we're going to get this problem solved. And then lastly, the fourth challenge that I see is even if we eventually get the six vessels removed that were committed to have been removed at the site inspection in the second week of December, that still leaves the question of what's an appropriate vessel loading for this waterway. And we would see a role for the VMRC in making that kind of assessment. The VMRC makes those kinds of assessments in the siting of marinas, for example. You have regulations that do that. We cited them in the paper. And so that is where we are at this point, and I'd be glad to take any questions from the commission.
Anybody have any questions? Mr. Plumlee.
You stated here that this vessel B, it appears to be touching bottom. Is that confirmed by anyone that you know?
It's not.
It's not. Okay.
And you'll notice on vessel A, we noted it was confirmed by First Sergeant Copperthite. Vessel B, the circumstances of it, it's apparent it must be touching bottom. It's inboard or shoreward of vessel A. The water's very shallow there. It's been in that location for the last 4 years, perhaps more, and has not moved in all that time.
Right.
And it has no visible pier structure from the land to which it is moored. It's just sitting in one location in the water. And the water's very shallow there.
Is this, and I'm sorry, I'm asking this question really for my own benefit, but is this something that generally enforcement brings up to us if there is an obstruction like this in the waterway, that it comes to us to, or to the commissioner directly to act upon without the board necessarily?
Oftentimes it comes to the commissioner for the law enforcement here to investigate ownership and to pursue the matter in court if necessary to have the owner remove it.
So I was looking at 28.220 or 1210. It looks like that would violate, if it is abandoned and is, or at least in a state of disrepair sitting on the bottom, that that would violate that section and would entitle the commission to potentially order its removal and with penalties that are sufficient to motivate somebody to move it. And I didn't know if that's something that would bring to us.
The matter is being
investigated
by the Marine Police in conjunction with the city of Norfolk.
I wasn't here at the December meeting, so I wanted to ask that. Okay.
Yeah. Commissioner Travelstead asked the Marine Police here to work closely with Norfolk City Attorney Cynthia Hall to jointly come to the bottom of what all is out there, owned by whom, and what needs to be done.
Okay.
And that work is proceeding.
That direction was given at the last meeting, and I have not had any reports from Ms. Hall or First Sergeant Copperthite, but I'm able to report to you what I'm seeing, and which is what I've given you today. I would imagine you're receiving reports from the team working on this that perhaps I'm not seeing, but the important thing for us is to get this floating junkyard removed.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Lynn.
So, Bill, it's a follow-up question. I mean, Ms. Lang, as representative of Ms. Gomez, her comments seemed to indicate in the articles that we were given in the paper that maybe things weren't proceeding as quickly as she would like, but it seems to me we're doing the best we can. Is that which, I mean, do you see some impediments or roadblocks that we are not?
We would like to see an order issued for the removal of these vessels. That has not taken place. So far, what the path that is being followed is one of negotiation with the man who's responsible for having created the problem. And the results of that negotiation are a very limited commitment, a commitment to remove a limited number of vessels. Even if those were removed, it would not be satisfactory.
Okay.
And so what Mr. Gomez would like to see is an order issued to remove a large number of those vessels to bring down the size of this commercial boat yard to a size that is reasonable for the water body, the one that the water body can support. And you know, there's mention made earlier of TMDLs. This is an impaired waterway. It's impaired for dissolved oxygen, PCBs, and estuarian bioassessment. This is a waterway that can't support these kinds of activities in current conditions.
And so the statute that you would ask us to use to issue that order is, you had a statute that Commissioner Travelstead thought was the inappropriate statute.
Yes.
Are you now in agreement that the statute that he mentioned, and I won't remember which one it was, is the correct one, and that's the one we should use?
He is using 28.2-1210.
1210, mm-hmm.
We see shortcomings in the use of that code provision because, among other things, it hinges on identifying an owner of a vessel and then taking action against only that owner. If you have difficulty establishing ownership, then you're stuck and unable to solve the problem, unless someone has a pot of money to remove the vessels through government action.
Right.
The alternative is 28.2, and I believe it's 1203, 1204, or 1205. And that's the statute the commission uses all the time to deal with encroachment over state bottoms or trespass on state bottom.
Right.
We have both of those things happening here, and we'd like to see that statutory authority used. And the approach that we would request is that you treat this like a commercial boatyard, and you say you need a permit to have a commercial boatyard, and as part of the permit process, an assessment would be made about the density of the boats, the activities in the boatyard, the size of the waterway, the water quality, and the like. And that would be a holistic and global solution to the problem.
If I may interject a little bit here, legal arguments on what authority we would use if and when the time comes. I think it's a little premature at this point. The investigation needs to conclude with the Marine Police's work and with the city of Norfolk, and then I think we should take it from there.
I have one follow-up, if I might. So you're saying we're unable to, or it's not possible to identify the ownership of these vessels?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. Because I think with this 1210, you know, if it's possible to do that with the order of removal, you know, there's some penalties there that could motivate somebody to follow that order. And so I'm not sure if it's necessarily if we're able to determine ownership and then believe it to be an obstruction under 1210 that we are in any way troubled in going forward with that. I don't really understand that.
Well, we understand the path that the commission is on, and we appreciate the action that has been taken so far. There's still a good bit of road to travel before we've got the problem eliminated, but if the approach that the commission and the city are using gets us to that endpoint, that's really what we're interested in. We see an alternative way to get there that could be more expeditious, and we've suggested that to the commission's consideration.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Lang.
Right. Thank
appreciate
you
a lot.
For your time today.